Studio B.
Hit Studio B, water. Yay!
Studio B all over the world right now, or I-81. I'm not sure which is more correct. But Peyton, you and I are in the studio.
We are in the studio.
And Meg is mobile right now.
Meg, where is Meg?
I'm in the car. I am. Mom, where are we? We're in Waynesboro. We're passing Waynesboro, going back to Roanoke.
Awesome.
Dang, on the move.
Yeah, see, Meg is such an amazing producer. She joins us on the road.
Great.
Maybe Studio B can hit the road in the future.
Whoa. Yeah.
Like, what if we traveled around the United States doing this? I'd be okay with that.
Whoa. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Road trip.
Yes. So we just talked to Scott Sykes.
Yeah.
I love Scott Sykes.
He's a great person.
Like he's on he might be on Ryan's top 10 favorite human list.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He has such a gentle disposition.
Yeah.
Like he, oh my goodness. And
truth?
Yeah.
Truth.
Truth.
Truth. We talked about it.
We did.
Yeah.
We did talk about that.
That was interesting. And digitized.
Digitized. Yeah.
Digitized the cassette tapes.
Peyton used some really big words in this episode, guys. Yeah. Halloween is next week.
Halloween is next week. Next Monday.
We talked about
your Halloween suits to class on Monday.
I am. I get 10 extra points on a statistics test.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. Go Emory and Henry College.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think you might be in there with one of my lab partners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Cool. Yeah. It's a big class. So yeah. I'm very excited about that.
Yes. Yeah, so it looks like I'm going to be dressed up as the Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Halloween. Cool. Yay. Let's go.
That is a good show.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
I'm excited.
I just started watching it. They said, Peyton, you had the haircut. Why haven't you watched it? And I finally sat down and gave it a try. So now I'm on the second season.
And here you are.
And here I am.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. I can't wait.
Well, let's not wait any longer.
No,
let's get into the episode. This is Scott
Sykes.
Hey, welcome to Studio B, the Emory and Henry College Bonner Scholar Podcast. Join Ryan and Peyton as they discuss themes of place, community, and common ground.
This is Studio B.
Welcome back to Studio B.
Studio B.
We are in Studio B today with an amazing human.
Correct.
This is Mr. Scott Sykes. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing okay.
We're doing all right.
Are you okay? I answered
for
you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, you're fine. You're fine.
Yeah. We got the
fall festival today. Yeah. Fall festival. I've seen you working hard.
Yeah.
Ryan, we've got to go, man. You got to take a break from that.
We ran up the hill because this is an interview that I wanted to make sure I was here for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Most definitely. That's what I'm talking about.
Scott, where are you right now?
I'm in my office in the Appalachian Center for Civic Life.
That is amazing. And we've interviewed some people in there before.
We have.
Scott, can you tell us a little bit about the App Center? Because it used to be a house, right?
Are you talking about the physical structure itself?
The physical structure. Yes.
Yeah.
Sir.
Yeah. It's Collins House. It was originally built to be the residence of the president of the college. And it served as such for a long time. Don't ask me exactly how long, but it also served as a women's residence hall for many decades. In fact, it was a women's residence hall when I was a student here. And the office across the hall from me, in fact, was where the woman I dated most of my time in college lived. And so every day I come to work and remember that and think of that.
Oh, wow.
Now it's the Appalachian Center where we've tried over the last several years to make it a good welcoming place for students and for members of the public. So
I believe it is. I love the Appalachian Center.
Me too. It's a cool place.
Yeah. We have Bonner meetings
we
there.
We do. We do a Bonner, the events we have there. So
we did a little concert on the front porch. Yeah. I remember you saying Night Moves by Bob Seger. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I wasn't here for that, but I heard that it was a great time, but I'm glad to know you sang Bob Seger.
Yeah, I did. I actually did for the
you've sang it twice on campus.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I won the study abroad. That was fun. Yeah,
he won a scholarship for singing Bob Seger, actually.
For the study
abroad. Are you a Bob Seger fan, Peyton, or is that just your karaoke go-to?
I like all types of genres of music, but Bob Seger's, he's really good. But
Nice.
Classic rock and country is my top. But
He's an underrated songwriter.
Yep.
I'm glad to know that. I'm surprised.
So, Scott, you mentioned that that used to be a residence hall, so that means that you were here as a student. So mm-hmm. What was your student experience like here at Emory Henry College?
Oh, man. I don't know how much time you have. I could talk for a long time about that because it was a transformative experience for me. It was a good experience, but it was also a difficult time in my life for a good chunk of that too, because I was, you know, young and dealing with figuring out who I was and who I wanted to be. And those are hard questions. And I was a first generation college student. I had some sense of what to expect, but not really. And I might've gotten off track for a while, but at the same time, it was an experience that I was soaking up. I was very, and still am, a very curious, kind of inquisitive person, always a big reader. So the academic side of things was very much appealing to me and was a big part of that transformative experience. But I do confess that I had extracurricular activities that took me off course from time to time. So I regret a little bit of maybe not taking as good of advantage of it as I should have.
Those were all learning moments, wouldn't you say?
I can look back on it now and say that, yes.
Yeah.
There was some disappointment for a while, but I think, you know, it takes those things to be who you are now. And I'm very happy with who I am now. And I wouldn't be without having had those lessons and experiences.
What if the college has changed, like the scenery and, you know, where buildings are and where they were at? And
was there a big shift in, you know, student life when you were here to what it is now, as you are, as the chair of the Civic Innovation Department?
Well, in terms of just student life, I really don't feel like I have a good handle on kind of what your free time is like. You know, I mean, I get some sense of that, but for good and obvious reasons, you all are not going to give me a full glimpse into that world, and I wouldn't have either. So I really don't feel like I have a handle on that, but I do have a sense that it probably has changed in many ways. Just because, yeah, the campus and the college in general has changed in a lot of ways. So, that's just the way of the world. But I have some sense that there are probably a lot of things that are similar still.
Awesome. Scott, what did you major in when you were a student here?
I majored in religion.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, do you use part of those things that you learned here in your degree and your job now?
I use everything. Yeah, that's part of the beauty of a liberal arts education. And I think that's one of the big reasons I chose to major in religion, because I'm interested in everything. And I felt like that was a program and the kinds of classes where you raise the biggest questions about who we are as human beings in the world. And those are sort of overarching questions, or the kinds of things that thread their way through the whole tapestry of knowledge. That's kind of the way I approach my teaching, is that no matter what the class is specifically about, we're all on a larger journey toward truth. I don't expect that we get there, but I just feel like that's the point of a liberal arts education, is to recognize that all of life is a learning experience. It doesn't have to be divided into specific skills or specific academic disciplines. But we're all, you know, we all have questions about the world and what it means to be alive in it, no matter what subjects we're taking.
I totally agree with that. During my first class, my first ever college class, it was supposed to be an English class, but it was canceled the morning of, and I was like, this is going great. I really like college so far. And then it was my core 100 with Tal Stanley. And the first thing he brought up was that concept of ask the hardest questions of yourself and the world around you, because no one has learned anything from asking the easy questions.
We've got that class together right now, or we have the core 300 together. Yeah. I've got a class and we have him, and I love that. We did story exchange today, I love those.
Yes.
I think those are important. You tell the stories from somebody else, and you know, you understand a person that you might not have never spoken to.
Yeah.
In like, what, 5-10 minutes or?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It's an interesting way to say hello.
It is. Great.
Scott, we've talked about your pre-college life. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey, what happened after college?
Oh, yeah. Actually, the first thing I did after I graduated college was work here. I worked at Emory & Henry for, I think it was about 5 years or so. I don't remember exactly, but I worked in the admissions office as a counselor. And then I came over to the Appalachian Center and served as the coordinator of the Bonner program for a while. In the midst of that, my wife and I had our daughter, and I left not long after she was born. I left the college and went out into the world to do some other things. I was mostly in academic publishing for a while, tried a couple other things too along the way, but the majority of those years were spent with two different publishing companies that I worked for. And then somewhere along the way, my wife went to graduate school while we were both working professionals. And that was an experience that I had wanted to have and was disappointed that I hadn't done it earlier, but I never thought I could. But I watched her do it as we were both, you know, working and raising our daughter. And so she inspired me. I said, if she can do that, then I can do it too. And so I started a master's program. And from the very first days of being in graduate school, I remembered what it was that I loved so much about the academic world. And so I kept going. I finished my master's degree and started my PhD. And that was when, that was about the time that Tao made space for me to come back here. He and I remained friends through all of those years from the time I had been, well, a student here and then working here. And then in the intervening years, he and I kept up our very strong friendship. And so when I came back here, I first came back as the associate director of the center. And now, of course, I have the great privilege to be the director of the center. So it's a little bit about that story.
That is a good little 30-second recap of a lot of years.
My whole life.
Yeah. It's crazy you can fit all of that into that amount. And you still got a lot more ahead of you.
We hope. Yeah.
Yeah. Fingers crossed now. That's awesome. It's a privilege to work under you in your leadership in Bonner. Because I came in during that transition between Tal and Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You were here a year before me, Paige.
Yeah, correct. But, yeah. During COVID, we came in. Yeah. Interview with Tao. So I got to be with him for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, and I'm glad I'm back with him again.
Yeah.
Having a class with him. It's probably one of the most influential and fun classes I've been a part of since being here on campus, honestly. That, so
civic innovation has a grip on some people on this campus, and I'm one of them. So that's amazing. Scott, in your role as this leader of Bonner and the App Center, can you tell us, like, maybe there's a story or a moment of a time when you understood that this is where you're supposed to be and this work that you're doing is what you're supposed to be doing?
That's a terrific question, Ryan. You might give me a second to think about that. Actually, you know what? No. I think I can answer that by saying it's not necessarily one moment, but every single time, this has not gone away. Every single time that I step into a classroom, I think about the experience that I had here and what it meant for my life. And I think about the people who were here as teachers when I was a student and how many of them were, one, so caring and kind to me, and two, just influential in terms of helping to shape the way I understand the world. And I think about them, and I want all of the students that I work with, whether it be in that classroom or in the Bonner program or through whatever program in the Appalachian Center, that's what I'm hoping for them, that they can have that kind of experience that carries with them throughout the rest of their life. And so whatever I can do, that's what I see, you know, as part of my work. And so I felt that right away coming back here, that being with you all, doing that kind of stuff with people like yourself was what I was meant to do.
It's amazing. That was amazing. I really like that answer. I try to ask that question or a similar question on pretty much every episode. And I'm always so surprised about
I think it's a very
the way that people
question.
Demonstrate the heart for this work in those. Yeah. My first like interaction with you, Scott, was the when I worked on the Appalachian Oral History Project. Scott is over that project. It was over that project. And that's when we took the cassettes and transcribed them into the newer.
Well, you digitized them.
Digitize them. That's what it is. Not the digitized. But there were other transcribing is part of that process too. Mm-hmm. But I found this weird parallel. Here I go again, Peyton.
Yeah, it's making connecting, a circle. Connecting. There it is. There
yeah.
it is.
Because I think the podcast here is an oral history project as well.
It is. You're yeah. absolutely right.
I can't wait. Hopefully, fingers crossed, someday, 20, 50 years from now, there's a little student who hides away in the top of the App Center who's listening to a little MP3 file of our voices today. And I just didn't really know a lot about this sort of oral history work until we did that.
I didn't really think of it that way.
Yeah, and Scott was the one who gave us the green light for this project. So we got to thank him for that,
yeah,
too.
Correct. Yeah, correct. Yeah, I enjoy doing that. Yeah.
Scott, can you tell us some of your, there's a lot going on at the App Center, but can you tell us like some projects that you're keeping an eye on right now that are very interesting?
Oh, wow. Well, as you all know, we have an incredible staff and they're all doing just things that blow me away. And just in the last year, the directions that they have taken us, it just impresses me. And so they're the breadth of our projects, the amount of things like that are going on. Every time I look at it, I'm reminded of how much work they do and how hard they're doing it. But some things that really stand out, of course, the Watershed Project I think of it as kind of an anchor project for us because it really is at the center of what we're doing here in terms of the values and the mission of the larger center and what we can do in the world. I think the Watershed is extraordinarily representative of that. But then we also have things like the Chats program, which I think is kind of maybe off the radar a little bit because it has expanded so quickly. And it's a very simple, kind of straightforward thing. You know, these facilitated conversations with members of the community and members of our campus community, students and others. And it's a simple aim of building common ground. And I've been so amazed at how well that has gone to be so early on in that project. And I love the way that it gives students different roles and gives them opportunities to develop as leaders and to be a part of something in a different way. So that's cool. The Isaiah 117 House project that we just launched is, I think, has the potential to be something monumental that we do. It's going to take a few years, but to develop a house where children who are entering the foster care system can spend that transition time is a real tangible thing that this whole community of Emory, Virginia can be a part of. And it's going to be the kind of heavy lift sort of project that takes, you know, dozens and dozens of people stepping up and doing this thing or that thing. And the fact that our students can be involved in that it can be incorporated into several different classes, that's exactly the kind of thing that we're going for. So those three come to mind.
Wow. I think we've had an episode on all of those projects.
Oh, good.
Which,
yeah,
which is right, awesome. I think so. Our listeners definitely understand a lot of the things that you're excited for, that we're all excited
for.
That's
cool.
For.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we had Amelia on to talk about Chats. Yep. Yeah, we had Jenny Moore with Mount Rogers, mm-hmm. who also gave us a part two of Chats.
Correct.
And that's awesome. And then we had Megan on with Isaiah, which is, I'm working on that with my civic leader scholars.
Yeah, that's exciting to hear about.
Yeah. Very. So, yeah, Scott's kind of the guy behind all of these, which is really awesome, too. And his leadership.
Let's correct that. I get to sit back and listen to all the real work that's being done from the people leading these
there
things.
We go.
Not only that, but I think about how much these projects are facilitated by you all, by students, right? That is the main thing. And that, you know, I get to just hear about them and maybe offer some advice here and there. But otherwise, I get to sit back and smile and enjoy it and watch you all do the hard and good work.
That is one thing that it's one of the biggest drawing factors of me to this college is the impact that I can have here compared to if I went to a school with 80,000 students.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think, Peyton, you have a question, right?
Yeah. What is there a favorite quote or some quotes that you might use in your work or your time here at Emory?
They'd like to share with us, maybe?
Well, I don't have one particular, but I don't think I've had any of you all in class. No, I haven't yet. I hope that I'll have maybe if not all three of you at some point, then at least one of you. And so you might not know this, but no matter what class I'm teaching, whether it be the Core 100 or CIVIN 100 or a CIVIN senior seminar, anything it is, I begin every class period, every class meeting with a poem from Wendell Berry, who of course is a well-known writer and farmer who lives in Kentucky. He's been writing for, you know, five decades or more, essays, poetry, novels, and short stories. And his work has truly, truly been an elemental to the formulation of who I am over the years. And his poetry is about place, and it's about discovering the holy around us, and it's about connections with the world and with people and with the neighborhood around us. And so I begin every class by reading a poem of his, sort of my thing, which I totally lifted, by the way, from a professor who was here when I was a student. He read a poet named Seamus Heaney. And so I've gone with Wendell Berry. And so if I were to pick one, it would probably be a Wendell Berry poem. I don't have it memorized, but the one that I read on the first day of class for every single class is called The Contrariness of the Mad Farmer. And the kind of closing lines are around the fact that there are more than one way to discover the truth. And so that goes back to that whole sense I have that we're all on a journey together. And so that's why I open every class with that poem on the first day. And then, of course, like I said, we share a different Wendell Berry poem at the beginning of every class.
We kind of struck a chord with that because Tal opens our class every day with a Wendell Berry poem.
Oh, so he totally stole that from me.
Yeah.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. See, yeah.
I'm thinking next episode, Peyton, we have both of these guys on here.
Yeah.
Let them at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be good.
So, Scott, what are your next steps? We're wrapping up the semester. Is there anything exciting you'd like to share with us?
Oh, for the
App Center? Yeah.
Hmm. Well, you know, all of these projects that we're doing are relatively new. You know, the Watershed project just launched. The Chats project just launched last semester. I feel like, you know, that's a lot. That's taken a lot of our time and energy right now.
Yeah.
And of course, the Watershed will for years. All of those will for years. So in terms of just kind of what's ahead, you know, this time of year, we're not quite there yet, but we're almost to that point where we start thinking about next year's Bonner class. And that's always a fun process for me to read through those applications, to meet those prospective students and to host them here and to learn more about them. So I'm excited for that. And of course, that goes hand in hand at the same time of year with planning for our classes in the spring, which no matter how classes go from semester to semester, I always get excited when I'm thinking ahead about those things. So that's really what I've got my mind on right now. Nothing new and cutting edge, right? But those are the things that are going to take attention soon.
I would say the new Bonner class is new and cutting edge.
Well, that's true.
There's going to be some amazing people who roll through that.
Yeah, you all
usually are.
A high bar, though. Yeah.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to sit down with us. And we look forward to seeing the rest of the work that happens through the Appalachian Center.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Peyton. You all do such a great job at this. You've taken this podcast project to a next level or two or three above. And I just want you all to know how much I appreciate it. I appreciate the work that you put into it, the effort and the thoughtfulness and the care. You're doing a really good job, and I'm honored that you would ask me to be a part of it. So thank you too.
Studio B is part of the Emory and Henry College Bonner Scholar Program through the Appalachian Center for Civic Life. Studio B is produced by Meg Askew and edited by Ryan Vaughn. To listen to past episodes, go to anchor.fm/ehstudioB or wherever you listen to podcasts.